Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new edition of Geek to Me Radio. Today we are joined by actor Rena Owen, talking all about her various roles from stage to TV to movies. We'll be chatting with her about working with Seth MacFarlane and more. Stand by. And for those of you who have found us on the interweb, we thank you very much for locating us and subscribing to the show. If you are hearing this after the fact in the podcast form on Google Play, iTunes, SoundCloud, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts from, thanks very much for finding us there. We hope you're also subscribed so you never miss a show. I'm your host, James Enstall. We try to bring you a new and exciting show every week. And this particular week, I had the chance to talk to veteran actor Rena Owen all about her various roles. And with that, we're just going to dive right in. We're joined now by actor Rena Owen, just finished up her third season as Helen Hawkins on Siren, and the woman who Ruby Rich referred to as the Betty Davis from Down Under. Rena, how are you?
Oh, James, you did your research on that one. Ruby Rich. Oh, my goodness. It's like, that's historic music. You know, she was such the famous critic at the time in the mid-90s when I was launched with the New Zealand film Once Were Warriors. So to hear that Ruby Rich quote, that's nostalgic for me. I mean, my God, that was 25 years ago. So thank you for that. And I'm doing great, and I'm very happy to talk with you today.
I'm very pleased as well. I was very excited to chat with you. You've got a very just fascinating time working from theater in London, moving to LA, doing movies and TV. You've virtually done it all. And I love the fact that in your theater training, you do acting, writing, and directing, which from other celebrities I've spoken to, theater really is the best groundwork to be laid for people who are going into movies and television. Did you find that to be the case as well?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubts about it. The advantage, and I encourage all young actors out there, writers, directors, what have you, to do theatre, because the great thing about theatre is it's all about the nuts and bolts of the craft, and it is a craft. And, you know, unfortunately, in the TV and the film world, it's easy for people to get caught up in the kind of glamour aspect of the industry, or having your photo in a magazine, or walking a red carpet. Whereas theater, there's nothing glamorous about theater. It's hard work. You don't get taped to. And so you're there in the spot, in the moment, and you're either in the palm of the hands of the audience or you're not. So it's the best place to learn the craft of acting, writing, directing, and I think we've all seen a lot of theatre directors go on to become really fantastic film directors as well. The other thing, advantage of theatre, is it's all about story, beginning, middle, and end. And you do the story from the beginning to the end, whereas with film and television, it's all shot out of sequence. So it served me very, very well. And I find I can always tell if an actor's has come out of the theatre. There's just a different kind of, I can't articulate what it is, but highly recommend theatre for all people who want to come into this industry.
And we've spoken with other actors in the past on the show who have either gotten their start or found their main thrust in theater world. We had John Glover on talking about his time. He still loves, even though he's done TV and movies, he loves going back and doing the theater. That's the kind of something that never gets out of your blood. And I think it's kind of the same way with you from what I've seen.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, in an ideal world, it would be great to do a TV series, a film, and a theater production every year. But I only do theater when the schedule has allowed, and we've been very blessed with Freeform Siren that we've actually had three seasons, because a lot of TV shows don't get past the pilot. They don't get picked up, or they might go for one season and then they end. So the fact that we've done three seasons has been a great blessing, and that ultimately has kept me in Vancouver for the bulk of the last 3 years. And we should hear any day soon whether we will be renewed for season four or whether that will be the end of it. So fingers crossed for a season four. So I haven't actually been able to do a theatre production. I did get offered a couple, because with theatre, it can be a 3 month commitment if you've got a 4 to 6 week rehearsals and then you've got a 6 week run. You know, there's very few shows that do that amount of pre-production or rehearsal to only be open for 1 week. So you've got to have a couple of months available in your schedule. The only thing I was able to do time-wise was a mini series, a horror detective noir miniseries that was made by Stan Australia, and Stan is Australia's Netflix, in conjunction with ABC International. And that should be coming on Hulu soon. And I was able to do that between, season two and season three, because it was during the hiatus for 3 months.
Nice. It's one of those things. It's almost like Tetris. You're trying to find the time that you can squeeze in there in between other projects.
Yeah. You know, and I always think, because I've been doing it a long time now, and I always like to think that these things work out as they're meant to. And that, I guess I've always had faith that ultimately God is my agent, and I'll play the roles that I was destined to play. And thus far, that's how it's worked out with my career. You know, I've been in a very blessed position, but I've also been, like a lot of other actors, have had very dry, lean periods where there has been no work. And I keep telling actresses particularly that, you know, if you hang in there, because 40s can be a very lean time, because you are too old to be the hot babe, for want of a better word, you know, the hot young woman. You're too old for that. But you're also still a little too young to be that wise old sage or the wise old grandma. So if you hang in there to your 50s, and you haven't disfigured yourself, you do get work. And my mum always said that to me when I get quite down in my 40s. She'd always say to me, just remember Dame Judi Dench and Dame Helen Mirren didn't get their big Hollywood breaks until they were in their 50s. And that was true. And again, you've got two actresses who did a lot of theater in their background and are great actors. They're first and foremost excellent actors who are really in charge of their craft, and they still look like themselves. And I think that's becoming more and more important now in casting and in terms of what our young viewers are wanting. To give you a brief example, when we did our first upfront at Disney, one of our bosses at Freeform said, oh, you're my daughter's favorite character. And her daughter must have been like 13 going on 14. And so that surprised me. Because my experience is most young people don't like old people, or they're not interested in what they consider to be old people if you're under 30, let alone under 50. So I just asked her, I said, why do you like Helen? And she just simply said, because she's real. And I'm like, wow. That's an inspiring young generation that our world is now growing up in, and I think we've seen it more and more in the various things, particularly here in America, whether that's been, you know, gun violence at schools and all these youth coming out and just wanting to change things, or, you know, by what's been recently going down in this past couple of months. So realness is a commodity right now.
Absolutely.
And I think it says a lot about where we're at and what we want as viewers. We want stuff that's real. Don't get me wrong, that realness can still be in a sci-fi world. I mean, I think Seth MacFarlane, who I've also very blessed to work with on The Orville.
Yes.
You know, he's a fine example of someone who presents what he has to say in a very entertaining and often comical way, but his messages run incredibly deep.
Yeah, a lot of ways.
Whether that's Family Guy or The Orville.
Yeah, I was just talking with some friends the other day about the original Rod Serling Twilight Zone, how the social commentary, it's stuff that still comes up in society today, and he'd apply this allegory, and you never knew you were getting some deep societal lesson. You were just entertained by it, and then you reflect back on it afterwards. And a lot of people have said of Seth MacFarlane that, for example, The Orville is actually more Star Trek than Star Trek is in some instances like that, where it's kind of conveying this information.
Yeah.
We'll take our first break, come back, chatting more with Rena Owen after this, so stand by.
Hi, this is Michelle Nichols, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. This show would not be possible without our sponsors, and our premier sponsor is and has always been the City of St. Charles, the Greater Convention and Visitors Bureau. You can check out the website Discover St. Charles, that's discoverstcharles.com, to find out all the things there are going on in St. Charles. If you're from out of town, please come and stay. Check out the bed and breakfasts, the hotels, all the places there are to see, all the shops there are to shop at, all the restaurants to dine at. They're taking precautions with COVID, obviously, and it's still very busy. There's a lot of fresh air to be had in Frontier Park. Summer here, it's a great time to be outdoors, especially because there's not as much to do indoors lately. City of St. Charles has something for everyone. Check out the website. That's discoverstcharles.com. If you are from around the area, hopefully you've already visited. Hopefully you've already had a gooey butter milkshake at the sweet shop there in North Main. Hopefully you've had a chance to check out the new Salt and Smoke and the 500 block of South Main. Or maybe you've just visited some of the unique shops. Maybe you come out for the Legends and Lanterns Festival in Halloween time or Christmas traditions after Thanksgiving. Always something to see and do for everyone, all ages, in St. Charles. Check out their website once more, discoverstcharles.com. Before we went to our first break, we were chatting with actor Rena Owen about working with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, very, you know, and I do put him in that same category as Lucas and Spielberg, as he's a visionary, and he's quite the genius. And I mean, you just look at what he does, and you go, how on earth does he do it? I mean, he still does Family Guy.
Right.
You know, he writes, directs, produces and acts in The Orville, and he's also churning out CDs and writing books. And he, you know, there's just one word for it, genius. But back to that, and that he's exceptional at social commentary, but in a very entertaining way. And George Lucas, I mean, if you look at Star Wars, that was social commentary of the time. And it's what resonated with such a huge audience. When you look at those, the structure of those first stories, I mean, when I first read the first script I got to be lucky to work on, I kind of thought, this is really biblical. And then when I really started to look in a little bit closer at Star Wars, it essentially comes down to one of the most fundamental human needs, which is good versus evil.
Right.
It's are you going to go with the good guys and go into and stay in the light, or are you going to go to the dark side? You know, and that's the social commentary that George commented on in Star Wars, and it's 101. And the only other higher stake, really, in storytelling is life or death. And essentially, so that's also in Star Wars. You know, are you going to join the good guys or are you going to join the dark side? And that still is what essentially the film and the franchise is about. You get to choose the light side or you get to choose the dark side. And there are consequences to both. And as old Yoda says, my best buddy Yoda, I love Yoda. You know, my two favorite film creatures of all time are Yoda and E.T. And yes, I sleep with a plush Yoda. I've had him for years. I love him. He just came out of the dry cleaners.
You need to get a baby Yoda now from Build-A-Bear. They've got those little baby Yodas from The Mandalorian.
I know, but it has to be plush. You know, it has to be soft. It has to be a nice plush Yoda, and I'm lucky. I did this convention. It was, I think, the Star Wars Celebration in 2005, and that's where I bought this plush Yoda from, and he's the best buddy. But, you know, Yoda says that fear leads to the dark side. That's 101 human condition. You know, and that's why we all loved Yoda, because he was, like, going back to what we first talked about, he was the old wise sage.
Yeah.
You know.
And you've been fortunate enough.
So when you look at the...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, sorry.
No,
cut you off.
No, that's right. Go ahead.
No, I have been fortunate enough. Yeah, I have been fortunate enough. But when you look at the characters of Star Wars, it's good old-fashioned storytelling in terms of what each character represents and what each character wants, and it's still a formula that still works today, and what makes films a hit is if it resonates with being human. And if you think about, as I say this to people, if you think about, you know, we've all seen, a lot of us in this industry have seen thousands of movies. But the films we remember are the films that touched our hearts.
Yes.
That really touched the pit of our being. Those are the movies we remember. As a kid, for me, it was Born Free, about Alpha, the lion in Africa. Hmm. As a teenager, it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. 20s, E.T., Star Wars, Blade Runner. You know, the list goes on, but there's a movie that really touched you on a deep level, but the others you have to kind of, I've watched movies and said, oh, I've already seen this. As soon as I see something, I think, oh, no, I've already seen this movie, but I didn't remember it. So when you look at what George established with Star Wars, he tapped into that 101 basic human need and the choice that we are faced with on a daily basis. Do we choose to be negative today or do we choose to be positive? So it resonated with a lot of people, and a lot of people found hope in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
You know, it's,
yeah.
I think all franchises work that same way, where it taps into an aspect of humanity where there's a need, and you get this audience who just like, this is me, this is my whatever. It's like with mermaids and how sirens taken off. We have a very fervent, faithful fan base, and I say thank you to all of our fans. It's one of the reasons we've still managed to get to season 3, but they're very fervent. They're very faithful, and that's the thing I've discovered now that we're doing social media. Fans, audiences are very clear about what they want and what they like and what they don't like.
Definitely. We've been going back.
And they get to choose that.
We've been going back since quarantine, rewatching shows. And like, for example, Community, the show was going to be canceled, and the fans did flash mobs outside NBC, and they had that hashtag Save Community. A lot of these shows, like we were just talking about, Lucifer was on Fox, and it got saved and picked up by Netflix. But I think it's because of there's such a diversity out there of people who want different things. There's not a show that's necessarily for everyone, which is great. And we have all these streaming platforms like Netflix, like Freeform, that offer such a great variety that certain fans do lock in on a series like Siren, and it just resonates with them.
Yep. Longmire was similar, you know, and I was very lucky to do a cameo role in 2 seasons of Longmire. and it was the same. It had a very fervent, faithful fan base. And when, I think it was AMC, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think it was on AMC. And when they canceled the show, there was such an outroar from the fans, like with Lucifer, that Netflix picked up Longmire and did a couple more seasons of it. So, you know, that could happen with Siren. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that Freeform does renew the show. But, you know, I think right now it's a challenging time for a lot of studios and a lot of production houses. A lot of studios and networks have had to push all of these shows until 2021.
Sure.
And so now it's like, I think they really need to look at all the logistics. You know, you've still got a border. Siren shoots in Vancouver and that border is still closed. So there's a lot of things to weigh up here and a lot of logistics.
Absolutely.
You know, it's challenging for everyone. I mean, that's just the way, you know, this is COVID year. This is not a normal year. It has not been a normal year for any of us.
Definitely not.
But I do think it's like, you know, I've said this a few times now in interviews, and it's so heartening because often in different countries around the world, whether that's New Zealand or London or sometimes maybe here, not to the same degree, but the arts are the first to get cut when it comes to government funding, because it's seen as a luxury rather than a necessity. But you ask any single person out there, what did they do when they got locked down? They watched film.
Absolutely.
They watched television. They pulled out their music. They pulled out their comic books. They pulled out books off their shelves. They all turned to the arts. What would have we been like if we did not have the arts as a source of escapism, as a source of entertainment, as a source of it just fulfills us. It fills our lives. What would we do without the arts? And I think, you know, hopefully this year has proven to the world that the arts are not a luxury. They're a necessity. And I heard this a long time ago, and I do believe it's true, that writers are recorders of history. They are historians. I remember being told, if you want to find out about a certain culture or a certain country, don't listen to the politicians. Read the books.
Yes.
Watch the movies.
Yes.
Listen to the music. Because you'll get more insight and more closer to the truth out of your artist. So it's going to be really interesting to see what post-COVID is going to look like. But I think we're all getting to that point where we have to accept that this is the new normal, that a lot of things have changed that will be changed forever.
Yeah.
And a lot of things won't come back to what they were. And I think that's what sucks of us as a race, as humanity, that, you know, when other decades, other generations had to go through wars and go through, you know, foods and what have you, and a lot of things that changed the world. You know, we're experiencing that, and all of those generations made it through, and then the world looked different. But I try to keep staying hopeful and stay positive, and I do. I mean, I think the fact that Yoda's my number one bae, I mean, you know, I'm definitely about going to the light side.
Right. I think we all need that in these times. And talking about Star Wars, you've been in not one, but two. So you played Ton Wee in episode 2 on the planet Kamino, and then you played Nee Alivar in episode 3. You're one of only 6 actors in the world to have worked with both George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. Earlier on, you talked about growing up, going to these movies, seeing Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. So it must have been a very surreal experience to find yourself 20 years later, after seeing these movies in theater, being cast in the new movies that were coming out at that time.
We're going to take our next break, come right back, and talk with Rena Owen about working on Star Wars. So please stand by.
Hey, this is Greg Grunberg, Snap Wexley from Star Wars, and it's all geek to me, my friends.
Welcome back to the show. Chatting this hour with Rena Owen, and obviously she got to play a few different Star Wars characters. We're talking with her about that and what it was like, as a fan of Star Wars, the original trilogy, getting picked to work on the prequels, episodes 2 and 3?
Yeah, it was, but, you know, it didn't really hit me at the time.
Hmm.
It's really funny. It's like, it just, you know, I had no comprehension of the fact that Star Wars was the biggest franchise in the world. I mean, I'd come out of theater. I'd come out of the independent film world. I had really no concept of it. Right down until I took one of my American friends to the premiere of Attack of the Clones, which was here at the Chinese Man in Hollywood. And, you know, there was a lot of press there and a lot of people. And I thought, oh, okay, this is a bit of a big deal. But it was at the end of the film. We sat there and we watched the film. And I looked at my friend. I said, this is a bit of a big deal, isn't it? You know, real pure Kiwi naivete. And he just looked at me. And his jaw dropped. He said, yeah, it's the biggest franchise in the world.
Yes.
Damn right it's a big deal. But it still didn't hit me until I went to my first convention in Dallas, Texas. Because the people who ran the convention saw me there at the premiere, and they said, oh, my God, are you here in America? We'd love to have you at Comic-Con in Dallas. And that was fantastic. I went up, and then I saw the lines of fans, and fans dressed up as their beloved characters, and that's when it really hit home. And I thought, my God, Star Wars is a religion. It's a way of life.
Definitely is, yeah.
So, we can sometimes, being on that side of the world, lose sight of the enormity of things. But I mean, it's also a quality that we kind of like about our Kiwi culture, that, you know, it's something that kind of works and doesn't always work. It has its positives and its negatives. But I think with episode 2, because they had originally, George Lucas was a fan of Once Were Warriors, the independent New Zealand film that launched both myself and Temuera Morrison, who played Jango Fett.
Mm-hmm.
That movie also launched Cliff Curtis, who's had a huge career here in Hollywood and is currently doing the Avatars. And so both me and Temuera ended up in Star Wars. They had originally wanted me for the role of Captain Typho, which was the security guard with the eye patch. Yeah. And so I was a bit disappointed, to be honest with you, and because my mum was all excited, and I said, "Well, don't get too excited, mum. You're not even going to see me now. They're going to do a computer job on me." And so, you know, because George said, they said, and he was right. When you look at that film, he was right. You did need the one token male security person in all those scenes with Padme. And he said, but, you know, there's this alien, and would you do this alien? And she was just a dream to do. And I was, a lot of people think I was just the voice. And I find myself having to say to them, no, with all of these characters are played by real actors. Because the computer cannot generate the human spirit or the energy of a real human being. So they all cast really good actors. And then they do CGI. Then they, unlike the prosthetics which I do for the Orville, we shoot all the scenes, me walking and talking, and then they go away and they change my appearance by computer.
Right.
It's a lot easier than prosthetics. But, that's me walking and talking. And in fact, when I saw the film here in Hollywood, I still remember being quite pleasantly surprised by how much of myself I could still see in the character. When it came to episode 3, and that's how a lot of filmmakers work, you know, if they like you, you become part of the family, they bring you back. And they took me back to Sydney because it was shot on the Fox lot in Sydney, Australia. But once I got there and I read the script, I just knew, because theatre and years of writing, I just knew that these new characters, and there were a couple of us, that were new senators for Padme. And we had quite a few other scenes. There's a really juicy scene with Padme and Palpatine in Palpatine's office. But all of these extra scenes, and I kind of knew it. I thought, you know what? When they get to the editing room, we'll be the first to get sacrificed.
Yeah.
Because we were not intrinsic to the plot. Your plot, when you streamline a movie, all you writers out there, when you streamline your movie, every scene has to be intrinsic to the main plot. And the main plot of episode 3 was all about Anakin going to the dark side.
Right.
Everything else gets cut out. And every film and every episode of television, including Siren, is always written for an hour. But there's always stuff that's going to get sacrificed. And the way they choose what gets edited, you could do the scene, an Oscar scene of your lifetime. But if that scene is not required to tell your story, then it's going to end up on the editing floor. So we're really now on the landing pad, just a blank. But, you know, I had the experience. I had the whole month there. And in some ways, I enjoyed episode my experience more with episode 2 because I had that kind of naivete and a somewhat of an innocence, and I was just this big kid in this big playpen and I hung out with George's children and just had fun. When I went back to episode 3, I was so self-conscious and so aware, because by that point I'd seen the movie, I'd been to the comic convention.
Right.
So I'd lost that innocence. You know, I'd lost that innocence of what it meant to be in a Star Wars film. So I'd like another shot at it. I would really love another shot at it. I'd love, you know, if I've got a career goal that I would really like at this point in my life, is I'd love another shot at being in a Star Wars or a big film franchise. Because you just get better with age.
Well, I was going to say we should get a petition going to have Rena Owen as part of the Mandalorian series for season 2. That way you could play with Baby Yoda.
And we'll take our next break. Come back continuing our chat with Rena Owen. So please stand by.
Hi guys, it's Emily Swallow. I have two things to tell you. One of which is, this is the way. And you are listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. Talking with actor Rena Owen, who obviously played in Star Wars episodes 2 and 3, as we mentioned. If you are looking forward to seeing a movie, I know I've seen, I think now, all of the Star Wars movies on the big screen. I wasn't old enough to see the original trilogy when it first came out, but obviously they re-released them in 97. I'm just a movie fan. I love going to the theater, and I'm sure you, like me, miss going to the theater. Marcus Theaters is our sponsor on the show, and they are working diligently to bring back movies in this time of COVID. They did a soft opening with 6 theaters on June 19th. They're testing things out, requiring masks from all guests, from all employees. They want this to be a safe transition. They want movies to come back, just like we all do. And nobody's working harder at that and doing it properly than Marcus Theaters. For those of you who are still a little uncertain, and I get it, you can go to the website, though, and bring the movie experience home. They have huge bags of popcorn. You can partner up with some different movie-sized candies, and they've got some fun movie-at-home packs that you can get and have shipped straight to your door for that authentic movie night feel while you're self-isolating, if you're staying in. But when movies do come back, I am going to be the first one there to see some of these films. I know many of them are getting pushed back. Well, obviously, Wonder Woman got pushed back. I think the new James Bond movie, No Time to Die, is still looking at a November date. We all want this to be over. We all want things to be back to a certain type of normal, to where we can go out and enjoy these movies. I love going to the movies, and I can't wait to get back. Tenet, I think, will be the first one, unless that gets moved. And I'll be there opening night to see Tenet as soon as these theaters open safely. MarcusTheaters.com is the website. You can keep up with all the information, see what the closest one to you is, what their safety precautions are. If you're nervous about it, they'll have all the details right there on the website. There's no better place to see a movie than in a Marcus Theaters. MarcusTheaters.com is that website. Before we went to our last break, we were chatting with Rena Owen, and we were joking about the possibility. Now, she's done Star Wars episodes 2 and 3. She's done voice work in some of the games. Maybe working on The Mandalorian, getting to play with Baby Yoda.
I'd love to play with Baby Yoda. But the other thing is, one of my fellow countrymen, Taika Waititi,
yes,
has been hired to co-write and direct another Star Wars movie.
That's very exciting, because I'm a big fan of his.
He's a national treasure, and he's incredibly unique and original, and that's a really important, I think, quality for our writers and actors out there, or filmmakers, is that, or really for anybody in this life, is that there's only one of you. There's nobody like you. So when you realize you're 110% original and unique, that's what you have to offer to the world. It's who you are. Don't try and be like anybody else. Don't try and tell somebody else's story. Tell your own story. Do what only you can do. And if you just hang in there and persevere, because especially this industry takes a lot of perseverance and an enormous amount of faith and tenacity to hang in there and just go through the dry, lean valley, so to speak, before you can get to another mountaintop. Patience and perseverance and tenacity, in my experience, are always rewarded. It does come back around, and I've just had so many experiences in my career, even the first 10 years, where I wanted to walk away from it because I said to my mum, I'm working my butt off and in the theater, and I got nothing to show for my work, and I'm having to do a whole lot of other jobs to pay rent. And she said, just hang in there. If I hadn't hung in that first 10 years, I would have not got Beth Heckier, the lead role in Once Were Warriors. 10, 15 years later, I went through another dry spell and was about to kind of walk away from it. And then I got the Vin Diesel movie.
Yes, Last Witch Hunter. Yeah, that was great.
Right before Siren, it was another point. I'd gotten to that point where I was like, okay, I'm in my 50s. I can't do this anymore. You put in all this work going and you audition and you get rejected and you count your pennies. You're not sure. You have no idea where your next paycheck's coming from. And there's something to be said for when you surrender, when you let it go. If it's meant to be, it does come back. And that's what happened with Siren. I'm like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I'm of an age now where I need to have a proper job and a regular income. And, you know, and I did go through that kind of emotional, mental process of just letting it go and going, it's okay. I'm okay. If it's over, if my acting dream's over, it's okay. I've had a good career. I can't complain. I just need to know what I'm meant to do next. And I had to really answer that question very specifically about what I really wanted. And I did still want to work as an actor in America, and I wanted a character that I was just right for, the way I was. And within 2 weeks, I was in the audition room for Helen Hawkins. And I remember reading the script and going, oh, my God, this is exactly the kind of character that I was thinking about, where she's a bit of an enigma. You know, she's definitely original and quirky, and she's a character. She's a real character like I am. And she doesn't come in a box. And that's me. I don't come in a box.
And that's,
so to all you creatives out there, just hang in there. Sorry, you're going to say something.
No, I was going to say that's exactly probably why your character resonated so much with that 13 or 14-year-old girl who said you were her favorite character.
Just be you. You know, be you. Keep it real. And whatever you're doing out there, you know, just do it to the best of your ability. And that's all any of us can do. You know, I think new things are going to come out of this COVID, out of people being locked down and having this time to reassess and to reset in some ways. I think there's going to be a whole lot of new artistic stuff that comes out of this period of being locked down, and also the turmoil and the political stuff that's going on. And, you know, what's just going on in the world you know, it's challenged, been a challenge for a lot of people. And I think, you know, none of us grow in our comfort zone.
Exactly.
And great work, great art has often come out of the challenges. Not the mountaintops, it's the valleys that where people have to have really dug deep and come up with something. You know, so I'm excited to see what our new world is going to look like post-COVID. And I think right now, really, the message is still, you know, numbers are going up. And I, you know, there's been a few things I've been invited to, and I just have to say, guys, I'm past 50. I'm considered in the kind of vulnerable category, and I'm just not going to push my luck. It's just not worth it.
Right, sure, exactly.
For a party.
Yeah.
You know, and you just have to pick and choose what you really need to do and what can. You can go, no, that can, we can do that another day. We can do it another day when maybe there's a vaccine or our numbers have gone right down. But our numbers have been very high here in L.A. I went to pick up my favorite bread today. Oh, these French baguettes are just beautiful. And he said, hey, there's no bread. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said they've had to shut down because someone tested positive. Someone tested positive, so they've had to close down their whole bakery for 2 weeks. So just be careful, people, you know. And I just think we can't take any of us. We just can't take anything for granted. And it's better to err on the side of caution because, I mean, apparently people in their 20s and their 30s are getting it now. And I just don't want to push my luck because I would like to live a long life.
Sure.
I am getting older. I'm not getting younger. There's a lot of movies I still want to do. There's a lot of experiences I still want to experience. So I'm putting my health and safety first. And I'm well, you know, I'm well geared to staying at home. Cause you'll know this, for a lot of us in the arts, we work from home. We do most of our work at home. I read scripts. I learn lines. I work on accents. I do emails. I do social media. I do it from home, you know, and I really only go to work when it's on a set, but you do the work, the main work at home. So I'm used to being at home and it's been quite the luxury for me, but I'm lucky. I'm lucky because I don't have children. I don't have other mouths to feed.
Right.
And thanks to Siren, I have savings that I've been able to live on. But I feel sorry. I feel sorry for our waiters and our waitresses who, you know, really depended upon our tips to pay their rent here in LA. And I do feel for people who've got families and who are living paycheck to paycheck. It's really tough for a lot of people out there. But, you know, a lot of wonderful things come out of resilience. And just, you know, I just say to everybody, just hang in there and this too shall pass.
Yep, that's one of my favorite quotes is from Winston Churchill, who said, if you're going through hell, keep going.
Oh, I like that. I've not heard that one. Well, I think I've heard it, but I didn't realize it came from Churchill.
Yeah, it's one
yeah.
of the...
That was a generation that went through... You know, as I say, our world has been subjected to a lot of things that the world has had to survive through, and we're still here. And I always think as long as you're still here, or as the saying goes, once you're past 50, every day above ground is a good day.
Yeah.
So make it a good day.
And
make it a good day. Do what you can do in your little corner of the world to make a difference.
And I think that's the perfect place to end this on. It's been an uplifting talk. I've loved talking about your career. It's been inspirational, and I hope a lot of people pay attention to what you've said as far as, you know, you've got those lean valleys, but keep going till you get that next mountaintop. And where can people find you online?
Absolutely.
On social media? Where can people keep up with you and your career?
Absolutely, James. I'm on Instagram as my main platform. I'm RennaOwen.com. God, we don't use websites anymore. They're like dinosaurs. My God, it's neglected. I'm R-E-N-A-O-W-E-N, at Renna Owen on Instagram. The thing I like about Instagram, you can do a post and share it to Twitter and share it to Facebook, and you don't get stuck there. Like, it's easy to get stuck on Facebook. So you'll always get me on Instagram. it's been a pleasure to talk with you, James, and I hope we do it again. And hopefully next time we do it again, I'll have some really exciting news for you and other stuff to talk about.
That's perfect. We can hopefully talk about season 4 of Siren and how that went for you.
That's right. And maybe some movies.
Oh, great.
Or,
yeah.
Or maybe another franchise or maybe more, whatever. But it'll be good. And I'm keeping positive and I'm looking forward to getting back to work when it happens. So God bless everybody. And thank you so much for having me, James. And stay safe and stay well. I have to say, may the force be with you.
And that's it. A delightful chat with Ren Owen. We're going to come right back, take one quick break, come back and do a very quick wrap up. So please stand by.
Hello, I'm Robert Picardo, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager and Commander Woolsey from Stargate Atlantis, and you are listening to Geek to Me Radio, because you are no fool.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed our chat with actor Ren Owen. If you've missed some of our previous shows, as I mentioned at the very beginning, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts from. There's some other ones I hadn't heard of, like Player FM or FM Player, that I know have our show on it. So make sure you subscribe. We do enjoy knowing that our listeners appreciate the show. And obviously, we have links on Patreon if you want to help the show out and get some extra things for helping the show. You can check out patreon.com and Geek to Me Radio. You can search for us there. You can shop through Amazon.com. We have a link that we post in these shows. If you're finding us on Podomatic, there should be a link in the feed that you just shop as you normally would, and a very small percentage of that goes to supporting the show. Also want to thank our friends at Geeks Worldwide. I'm affiliated with that website and have been for a while. You can check out my movie reviews there. We've done other things with Geeks Worldwide. We've had them on occasionally to talk about things that are going on in the world of geeks. That's thegww.com for the Geeks Worldwide. And of course, make sure if you are staying in, you are checking out A Toy Store Near You from Brian Volquist, the creator of The Toys That Made Us. Episode 3 just recently dropped. That's a great project. We talked about that with Brian on air, about how the proceeds of that are going back to benefit these that have been hit by having to close for COVID. Thank you very much. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GeekToMeRadio, Facebook.com/GeekToMeRadio. Thanks for tuning in, and until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound be. It's not in the way you watch the flash. It's not
Thank you, Planet Kamino. Good night.
Hi, this is James Enstall, host of Geek to Me Radio, and in honor of my favorite Themyscirian, I've decided to become an Amazon warrior.
Hera, give me strength.
The next time you want to buy something from Amazon, go to geektomeradio.com first and click on our Amazon affiliate link. Simply shop like you normally would, and when you check out, a small percentage will go towards supporting the show. So remember, the next time you want to search Amazon for the latest Wonder Woman graphic novel or parts for your invisible jet, click through from geektomeradio.com first.
The world was in peril. Would you have me stand by and do nothing?